It's a tough time to be in the water industry. Lead issues, algae issues, and right at the fore is PFAS and PFOS contamination. I'm David Fair, and this is Issues of the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. Those family of chemicals are toxic and threaten your health if ingested. Now, there's a do not eat fish advisory for the Huron River, and it touches a number of water bodies in Washtenaw County. There's Baseline and Portage Lakes along the border of Washtenaw and Livingston counties. Geddes and Argo Ponds and Ford Lakes are also affected, and so is Barton Pond. And Barton Pond is where the city of Ann Arbor draws its drinking water supply. Efforts are underway to improve the situation, and right in the middle of that is Brian Steglitz. Brian is the manager of Ann Arbor's water treatment plant, and thank you for the time today.
Thank you for having me on.
I think for most of us, PFAS is a relatively new term. It's really been this year, in 2018, that it became a regular part of the environmental conversation. But the state's been aware of the issue and studying it since 2012, and the city of Ann Arbor began testing in 2014. Back then, did you know that the family of forever chemicals, as they are called, were so pervasive?
We didn't know. Back in 2014, the EPA was doing some exploratory testing as part of one of their regulatory rules where utilities test for emerging contaminants, so we really didn't have very much information at all.
How much more do we know now, 4 years later, about PFAS than we did when you began examining the extent of the threat?
We know a fair bit more, but there's still a lot more to learn. We know that there are thousands of these chemicals, and we have good information on a select few of them. The EPA and the CDC, Center for Disease Control, have been funding studies. So there's some epidemiological information on two of them primarily, which are the acronyms are PFOS and PFOA. So we have a reasonable amount of information on those, and we know there are health impacts associated with them. And that's where the current health advisory is built around those two particular chemicals.
Well, based on the latest testing for the chemicals we can respond to, what is the contamination level in the pre- and post-treated water in Ann Arbor?
It's changed a little bit over time, and that's one of the challenges that we have, is it's quite variable. But we have seen levels up to maybe 40 parts per trillion in the Huron River for the two chemicals that make up the health advisory level.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the finished water, we've seen lately over the past year, we're typically below 10 parts per trillion, but sometimes we're, you know, up in the teens. So, you know, we have some ability to remove these, but fortunately Ann Arbor has currently made a decision to invest in some technology that is effective at removing those two particular compounds, and we're in the process of beginning implementation of that.
And I do want to talk more about that in a moment, but based on the levels that you're seeing in the water, it does, in Ann Arbor anyway, it doesn't really rise to the level of advisory for drinking water, but some health and science experts say that the acceptable levels via the EPA are far too high. Do you believe, given the testing that you've done, that an advisory is warranted for Ann Arbor's drinking water?
You know, we're following the, you know, this information as it's developed by EPA. So at the current time, we feel that with the information that we have that Ann Arbor water is safe to drink. So we don't have any concerns about that. But, you know, as this is an evolving issue, we'll be fluid, and we will notify our customers if things change as more information is developed.
Are you personally drinking water out of the tap?
I am. I am a customer of the city as well.
Issues of the Environment and our conversation on PFAS contamination continues with Brian Steglitz. Brian is the manager of the Ann Arbor Water Treatment Plant. So you started the conversation on remediation. Let's continue. Ann Arbor City Council did vote to invest nearly $1 million more dollars to upgrade your ability to protect the drinking water. What is that going to look like?
So currently, one of the best available technologies for removal of these chemicals is called granular activated carbon. We have filters that contain this media at our water treatment plant. However, there are different types of carbon, and some of them are more effective at removing these chemicals than others. So what we're beginning to implement is to replace the media, this carbon that's in our filters, with a media that we've proven to be successful at removing the PFOS and PFOA.
And didn't you have some of these newer systems installed in 2017?
We did. So we have 26 filters at the plant, and we've been piloting this material since 2017. We decided, since we've been getting we've had success over the past 11 months, to recommend to council implementation of replacement of the media during this current fiscal year.
For all 26?
in all 26, correct.
So when you say you had success, what does that look like?
So success means that we have had non-detectable levels of the two health advisory PFAS compounds coming out of our filters. So the detection limit for those two compounds is 2 parts per trillion, so less than 2 parts per trillion of PFOS and PFOA.
What is the timeline for full installation for the rest of the GAC filtration systems?
Because it has a significant impact on our process, we're going to be doing it over the next about 6 to 9 months. We're going to be doing it in a banks of 6 or 7 filters at a time. So the first set is due to be changed out in the next 2 weeks. And then we'll probably be waiting a few months doing the next batch and then the third batch in the spring. It'll be happening over the course of the year.
As you mentioned, the pilot program showed that you can get it down to non-detect levels for the chemicals we know to test for now. As we move forward and we learn more about all the various chemicals, is it possible that we're going to be back to a contamination level and require further investment in protections?
At this point, we can't answer that question. You know, we're waiting like everyone else is to see where the regulatory, to see how these are regulated at a national level potentially or in the state. We're also, you know, learning a lot more about some of these other chemicals. The city is actually even participating in some research over the course of the next year as part of a grant by the Research Foundation to look at the shorter chain PFAS compounds and how treatment can affect those and whether we'll be successful at removing those. So, again, this, we're all learning, and over the course of the next year we'll have more information. And again, we will be adjusting to what we find.
But it sounds like the good news is that everyone involved is taking a very proactive approach to dealing with this issue with what we do know and what we may learn.
That's correct.
Well, I know the city is also investing in adding or upgrading UV equipment to further combat the potential problem of cryptosporidium contamination. First of all, what exactly is that?
Cryptosporidium is a protozoan cyst. It lives in the intestines of animals. So typically the source of this is from, animal feed operations and the runoff associated with them that can potentially get into a water supply. So cows, pigs, things like that, domesticated animals.
Is this a current problem or is this a problem that you're trying to avoid in the future?
So how this is regulated is that they count the number of these cysts that appear in your raw water supply. So they're not investigating what is in the finished water. And if you have a certain number of them in your raw water supply, then you need to implement certain required types of treatment. So because we have recently hit some triggers in the Huron River with the number of these cysts, we're required to get some disinfection for cryptosporidium, which we currently don't have all of the time at the plant as it's currently designed.
When once installed, though, the new UV system will be completely effective in addressing this issue?
Yes. UV is one of the best technologies. It's extremely successful at addressing cryptosporidium.
Well, prior to our newly acquired indoctrination to the PFAS issue, lead was the big water issue. The Ann Arbor and Detroit schools are going after it in a big way. Flint, of course, is an ongoing issue. While lead at Barton Pond and the treatment plant are not issues in and of itself, does the city have changes to make in the water infrastructure that stretches through the city so we don't have widespread lead issues?
The city has been fortunate to not have lead issues. There were some decisions made, decades ago about not using extensive amounts of lead in the distribution system. So we're benefiting from those decisions that people prior to us made. The city has removed all of the lead on the city's, the parts of the distribution system that the city owns, which is up to the curb stop or the valve where the transmission mains in the street connect to people's homes. But in June of 2018, the state of Michigan passed a revised lead and copper rule,
right,
which re-looks at how this, what things we may need to do in order to maintain compliance in the future. And one of those things are if there are galvanized service lines that are on the customer side of the curb stop, it will be the city's responsibility through its capital investment and improvement plans to replace those where there was lead at one point on the city side.
Do we have any idea how
we have some of those services that we will need to abate?
We do.
We do.
And when do we start looking at doing something about that?
We've already started. We've been in the streets removing or replacing water main and running into these. We've been taking some initiative to try to deal with them now as we encounter them. But we will be the first step is the inventory. And that's what we'll be doing over the coming years, is figuring out where do these exist, how many do we have, and then after that we will develop and incorporate into our capital improvement plan replacement. So this is going to be a multi-year effort. This isn't something that's going to be done in one fell swoop. The rule allows a fair bit of time in order to execute this, particularly for utilities that have low lead levels that are not in the, requiring any action, which isn't where Ann Arbor is. So it's just going to be incorporated into our future capital improvement plans.
It sounds like you might have a few things to keep you busy for a while.
We do. We are very busy.
Thank you for the work you do.
You're welcome. Thank you.
That is Brian Steglitz. He is the manager of the City of Ann Arbor's Water Treatment Plants. I'm David Fair, and we do thank you for listening to this week's edition of Issues of the Environment. If you'd like more information on today's topic, just head to our website at WEMU.org. This is 89.1 WEMU FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.